Well, hi. How are you? Good. Good to hear it. Good to hear it. This morning for a sermonette, I'd like to talk to you about one specific point or one specific topic this morning. So going through a process, my wife and I have been going through a process of attempting to sell our house and to potentially move to another house. And I think throughout the process, you know, when you go through things like that, you end up learning little things that you didn't learn before or didn't know before. And one of the things I'd like to talk about is something that's kind of hit home to us and that we've learned throughout this process, and that has to do with the scripture in James 1, verse 5. So if you can start turning there to James 1, verse 5, let me ask you a couple questions first. When you ask things of God or ask in faith, there's a lot of times are you getting mixed results in your life? Or are you getting no results? Does it seem like no results? Or are you getting the results you expect every time? You know, I knew it was going to turn out that way anyway, but I thought I'd just go ahead and ask. Right? You know, kind of resigned to the fact. Or, you know, are you restless in your actions? Are you kind of, you know, inconsistent in what you're doing? Are you constantly kind of in an agitated state, like, you know, oh, this should have worked out, or I wish this could have worked out, or, you know, kind of back and forth? These all kind of describe something that the Bible lays out. And I like to step through these scriptures, and I know I've read these before, but I like to actually dig a little bit deeper into the words behind them because they shed a lot of light and meaning on it. Let's turn to James 1, verse 5. This is in the context of asking something of God. In this case, it's talking about if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. So this is just saying to ask of God. Now, the next part, though, carries an important principle. It says, but let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. So I've read that before, and, you know, usually the way I think about it is, you know, I pray, and if I get all my feelings lined up, like, you know, I'm not wavering at all, then, you know, God may answer that. But that isn't exactly what this is saying as we dig deeper. Some of the definitions of the words that are here. First off, doubly minded, if you look at the Greek, it literally means doubly souled. It's kind of like you have two souls. You know, one is thinking one thing and the other is thinking the other thing. So doubly minded carries a connotation that, you know, you're kind of split between something. Now, if you look at the end result, what a doubly minded person is or doubly minded man is, it says it's unstable in all of his ways. Unstable, you can translate that a number of ways. It can be translated unstable, inconstant, or restless. You know, it kind of carries the feeling that maybe you're inconsistent or you're kind of restless or kind of those agitated feelings sometimes where you go back and forth and back and forth on something, that you end up in this state where you're just kind of, you know, in an unstable position, right? Kind of unstable mentally, emotionally, spiritually, kind of unstable in your actions. You know, you may do something one time and not do it the next time. So it kind of connotates all of those things. There's kind of an instability going back and forth. But the keys actually are in these scriptures. Whenever I read that, I've always felt it kind of like, yeah, that's me. You know, what can I do? But when you dig into the words, this tells you what you can do. Because there is something you can do to not be that doubly minded person and to become stable in your thoughts, in your actions, in your faith that is towards God. It's very interesting. Now, one of the key words here is the word doubt. So, New King James Version translates that doubt. The Old King James Version translates that wavering. You kind of waver back and forth. But if you look at the word doubt, this sheds some light on it. The Greek word is diakrino, and it's translated a number of different ways. So, diakrino can be translated five. Sometimes it's translated five times as doubt. Sometimes as judge. Sometimes as discern, as contend, or waver. But the basic idea when you dig into the meaning or the intent of this word is diakrino is about judging all the way through or through judging. So diakrino carries the concept that you're judging it all the way through or you're through judging is kind of the term to think about. Instead of letting God judge the matter, it basically carries the idea that we have prejudged the matter. So when it says that doubt, it's saying diakrino means that have you prejudged the matter? And there's a lot of different ways that you can end up prejudging a matter, isn't there? But I find, at least in my life and, you know, others that I've talked to, that we tend to prejudge kind of you know, maybe as a Christian, maybe in a more of the negative way, which is to say that, you know, you've kind of already determined in your mind that, you know, it's really not for you, or maybe you don't deserve something, or, you know, you probably did something, you know, 3 weeks ago, and so God remembers that, and, you know, it's not going to happen even if you ask. All of it is the same effect as that you have prejudged the outcome already in your mind. So when it talks about doubting here, it carries this concept. And it's when we prejudge and we kind of determine we already know what the answer is going to be. And so when we ask, how are we asking? We're asking with a double mind is what we're asking with. One of us is saying, you know, I know God wants me to ask him. And the other one is saying, I already know how it's going to turn out. I kind of already know what the result is, either positive or negative or a certain way. So the diakrino is you prejudging instead of saying and coming to God as the judge and asking him to judge for you the outcome of this. There's an important difference between these two. And I think that when we start to kind of dig and think on that concept, that how we approach God and think and ask will come out differently as well. You know, a lot of times when you have that double mind, you may ask God, and you may have in the back of your mind, I think it's going to come out this way. And as soon as you hit some evidence that supports your way, you kind of say, yep, I knew it. Right? You know, I knew it. I could see it. See, this sign that God gave me tells me that, you know, he really doesn't want that for me. Okay? And the problem is that's because you're of a double mind. You have already prejudged the situation or the outcome of the situation. Right? And we're made up of those two souls. Well, this is actually the problem. The problem isn't that God can't grant you something. The problem here is the instability, because if you think about that and think about how it works, that causes you to stop asking. That causes you to stop seeking God. That causes you to actually stop trying. So it's almost like, you know, it sounds like a self-fulfilling prophecy in some ways. You've given up even before you started because your double mind has said, you know, somewhere in the back of my mind, I know God doesn't want this for me. Or, you know, he doesn't necessarily want to bless me. Or that's not for me. That's for everyone else that I know around me to receive those blessings, but it's not for me. But God actually wants to bless on a lot of these things. He wants to see that. But there's the process that we go through. He also wants to see us not be doubly minded. And that's a hard thing. That's an easy thing to say. But when it comes to actually doing it, it's a hard thing. But I think there's some keys here. That's the first one. Diakrino means that you have prejudged the outcome. Now, when you bring something to God, it's okay to ask him. Like it says here, go to God and ask. If you prejudge what you think that you know what God is going to do for you, then that is what the part or the word, the intent of the word doubt means. You're wavering. You've already prejudged the outcome. In fact, go to God and ask him, because he will give you an answer. He will make a judgment in, you know, for or against something. That's one part. And you have to understand that God will make a judgment for you, and you have to let him be the one to make the judgment. Don't you pre-make up your mind that, you know, because of all these things happened, or you did this or that happened, or you're just this type of person, that you're never going to get that. Don't prejudge that. Ask God. Ask in his, about and in his mercy, and ask in his will. Now, think about that, you know, unstableness and how that works. Like, think about if you were to go for a job interview, right, and you were doubly minded. It's the same type of concept. Now, think of on a physical level what would happen if you were a doubly minded state of mind, is that you went into a job interview and you knew that, you know, I don't think these people actually want to hire me. You've already prejudged the outcome, right? What happens through that interview process, right? You may be like, yeah. You answer a question wrong, you'd be like, oh, yeah, okay, I'm stupid. You know, all of a sudden you start acting like Eeyore in Winnie the Pooh, right? There's always a rain cloud over you. Or, you know, and how does the other person interpret that? You know, if you start to be kind of like, yeah, you're kind of half-hearted, you're not really looking in the eyes, you're kind of dejected. Maybe they think, well, this guy's not interested. Or, you know, it's not really the job for this person. They may misinterpret that completely wrong. Guess what? The whole thing just kind of misfires, doesn't it? The problem is not that you couldn't got that job. The problem is that you were doubly minded. That actually gets in your way of being effective in getting that job. If you're singly minded, saying, you know what, I'm going to put my whole heart into this, they're the ones that determine the outcome of the job, but I'm going to just go for it. I'm going to put it all on the line and go for it and ask and do all I can, and if they make the decision no, well, it's no. But you know what, I tried. I did all I could, actually to try there. And so you think of the outcome kind of on a physical job hunting type of a level, the doubly minded is actually the problem because it gets in your way of you being effective. Now, translate that up spiritually, and that doubly minded will get in the way of you being effective in your spiritual prayers and life and attitude. Okay, it's not that God can't just answer something for you, but it's that you have not all of a sudden maybe stopped asking and seeking and knocking and not putting it in His hands to be the one to judge, but you've actually prejudged. So the first part about that is diakrino, right? And God says for us to ask and seek and knock. And I guarantee you, when you are of two minds, you hit the first thing after asking, you probably won't seek and knock, will you? You'll probably ask and say, yeah, I do it. All right, next. And just move right on, right? You won't seek and knock. Well, there's an important principle there. Well, I'm only going to use two scriptures today, and the second one actually gives us the answer. There's another place where the word doubly minded is used, and that's in James. And if you look over in James 4, verse 8, the actual answer is given of what to do about this. James 4, verse 8 says, draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify you hearts, your hearts, you doubly minded. So purify your hearts. Now, so what is the answer? Now, I know this is going to sound incredibly earth-shattering, but the opposite of double-minded is being single-minded. I know that that sounded earth-shattering, but that's exactly what this scripture is saying right here. Purifying, right? Something is pure when it's of singular content. It's made up of one content, right? Think of the example of like silver. Silver is not pure until you've purged it or purified it, and it's of one content, all silver. Right? And what this is saying here is to purify your heart in the same way, or, let me just rephrase it, become single-minded. I know that that sounds simplistic, but you know what? It's actually, when you apply this on a spiritual level, it's actually pretty exciting. When you become singly-minded, how do you do that? How do you become singly-minded? There's a number of ways, some practical advice. Here's what I found is one of the best ways to become singly-minded, is that when you ask something of God, that you try and do all you can about what you asked, that you leave no stone unturned. And why is that? Is it because, you know, you're going to try something and say, God, look, see, I did this, and God will say, oh, okay, I'll give it to you now. It has absolutely nothing to do with that. There's no way that us kind of putting forth an effort is all of a sudden going to manipulate God somehow into doing what we ask Him. You know what it actually helps is it actually helps the problem, which comes back to you and the double-mindedness. It helps your double-mindedness. It helps you become clear and single-minded, is that when you put everything that you can, you don't prejudge, but instead you say, God, I'm going to ask you this. I'm going to leave it in your hands to judge for me, and I'm going to do all I can. Now, what does that mean to be single-minded? Single-minded in the faith or in your attitude means that you bring every possible scenario you can to God, that you exhaust all the possibilities. You say, God, here's the reason what I'm thinking. I would like for you to judge on this matter. Here, you know, this is a reason why I feel like, you know, this would be a good thing to happen. You know, maybe it's a good thing for you. Maybe it's a good thing for your family. Maybe it's a good thing for you to just recuperate. Maybe it's some of those things. Bring every single possibility that you can think of to God, right? Bring that to Him and say, God, please consider these things when you judge. Please consider these things and keep this in your thought process. You all of a sudden in your prayers become singly minded that you are praying about that outcome and you're praying about all aspects of that. And on a physical level, do all you can that you need to do. For example, in selling a house, there's a lot of things you need to do, isn't there, right? You know, we repaint the house and put some carpet in and things like that. Basically, exhaust all the possibilities that you know about that you can try, bring all the reasons to God and ask Him to pass a judgment on that. Why is this important? Am I like saying something about, you know, it's because of what we work or what we do, or that somehow that, you know, if we stack enough evidence up that God will all of a sudden make the decision in our favor? Absolutely not. The thing that is doing is that is allowing you to be focused and single-minded on this, both in your prayers and your actions. You know why? Because when it happens and when God hands down an answer, yes or no, you will be able to accept that answer. Why? Because you know without a shadow of a doubt that you did all you could, and that you must know that God's answer is, okay, maybe not this, but there might be something else that I have in store for you. But you are not going to get there until you exhaust and bring all possibilities to God and really just try all you can, because that eliminates all doubt in your mind. Not for God, but in your mind. You've eliminated all possibilities. And when you get to those points, and I think a lot of us know what that means, that you've tried all you can and the door was still closed, if it's a closed door, it will be closed. But if it's an open door, you'll be able to walk through that with clear conscience and no wavering. If you get to that point and the door is closed, you'll be able to say, okay, I can see now that that door was closed. I've tried all I can and God still said no. Think about people who did that in the Bible, right? You know, Paul asked about his vision, or a thorn in his flesh, basically, something that was bothering him. Asked God to remove it 3 times. Somehow, throughout that experience, he got to the point where he understood that God's answer was no. My grace is sufficient for you. Same with King David. What did he do for a no answer at one point in time? When he, after his sin of Bathsheba, his son was going to die. So he did all he can. He brought it to God. He fasted for, you know, days on end, just laying there, praying and asking and putting all the different scenarios in front of God and saying, please have mercy on this kid, and et cetera, et cetera. And at the end of that period of time, because he did all he could and was single-minded to God, he was able to, after it was over, to get up and say, okay, God has passed the judgment, and I can accept that. I've done what I can spiritually, and I've asked God all I can and all the different ramifications of it. So this is an important concept, because you will know without a shadow of a doubt when the answer is no or the answer is yes, that God passed down a judgment for you. So the part in James chapter 1, it's very important to understand that let's not prejudge it, that we're committing this judgment into the hands of God. And then through the process, if you're doubly minded, that we need to purify or make single our heart. Make it single. Make it singularly focused and just go, 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 singularly driving towards that outcome. And when you know that God passes the judgment, you'll know beyond a shadow of a doubt that that is an answer from God. Now think about if you didn't do something and you get to that point and it didn't work out, what tends to happen? Is that we tend to say, like, I should have done that. I didn't do this. Or, boy, I didn't pray hard enough. Or, you know, there's all these things. What is that? That is actually us kind of being wavering and doubly minded, probably because in the back of our minds we thought it wasn't going to work out somehow. Right? So let commit it into God's hands. Pray and be singularly minded. Purify your heart in the matter and just go for it. And commit to God and let Him answer that for you. Do every single thing you can. Let Him answer that for you. When the answer comes, you'll know beyond a shadow of a doubt, and you will not have a double mind, and you will not become unstable. So if this is an issue in your life, think about these two scriptures. Very simple scriptures, very simple principles. But it's very important that that will actually help us to become not so dejected or kind of, you know, agitated over things or just kind of embroiled in this kind of up and down mentality, but just singularly focus and look for God for the answer, and our hearts will be purified and no longer doubly minded.